Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hey there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We're on episode number 215, and this is the first part of session 3 with Melissa. And if you haven't met Melissa, you should. You should go back and begin and listen to episode 211, where Melissa introduces herself and you really get to know her and who she is in her own words. Because today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into her backstory and what makes her her. Makes she her? what one of those phrases that makes sense from a grammatic standpoint. I was an English major, but then also I remember one of my professors kind of honing it in that once you know the rules, that's when you know that you can break them. And I am constantly breaking grammar rules. But anyway, Melissa, I am labeling this conversation, this episode, with the idea and the phrase that there's nothing wrong with you. And I really want you to think about that as you listen to her words, because as we grow, we're trying always to please others when we're young. We're trying to please our parents. We're trying to please our teachers. For her, she was trying to please her church and her religion and doing things quote unquote perfect. And if she wasn't able to meet these oftentimes majorly unrealistic expectations, she'd kind of beat herself up a little bit in her brain. And so I'm not going to give anything away. I want you to listen in your ears and with her words and let her explain how now in her 50s, she is now holding her head high and relaxing her shoulders and realizing, I have so much to be proud of, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. The same way, wherever you are, if you're listening, there is nothing wrong with you. Okay, here is Melissa. Good morning, Melissa. How are you doing?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. I see you are in front of what looks to me like an unpacked and stocked china cabinet.
Yes, that we are making some good progress on the house. It feels more like we live over here and less like we live in the old house.
Good. Congratulations. I'm glad. And how do you feel?
Tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving's tough.
We had people over yesterday for a meeting, and it was great.
Okay. And who were these people?
I work with a youth group, and I am helping them with fundraising. And it was a couple of the girls, but mostly the families, the adults, to talk about what we want to do in terms of fundraising for the next year.
Okay. Okay. And you felt proud to show off your new home?
Very much. It's easy to get to. My other home was rural. And I had hard water at the old house and kind of a cranky septic tank. So you never knew what was going to work and what wasn't. And I didn't have to worry about that. Everything works.
Oh, I'm glad. Good for you. Good for you. All right. I have I have your session sheet. You said, well, you were in the middle of moving, but homeworking didn't happen as much as you'd like. Does that sound right?
It does sound right. I got a little bit more done after I sent the session sheet in.
Okay.
I am usually one to beat myself up when I don't do everything I think I can do, or if I feel like I'm blowing it off. But I love the structure you sent
Okay.
for the book. So I got started on it.
Okay. Yeah.
And
Well, and then I saw that I had sent you kind of a mapping out to write your life story, but it was in PDF form, and you were trying to translate it into a Google Doc, but it didn't talk as nicely the as it should. It didn't look the same.
it wasn't. And then last night, for no good reason whatsoever, I clicked on it to see if I could print it and just write, because sometimes I actually do enjoy that process. And it asked me, would you like me to make this a Google Doc and convert it beautifully? And I don't think I did anything to change that.
Okay, so it worked then.
So it worked. And I
Okay.
filled it out about halfway. I have to put boundaries on myself about when to go to sleep or I won't. And so I was good. And when my watch reminded me that it was time to start my bedtime routine, I did. But
Okay.
what I really like about this is when we met last week, I talked about not knowing which story I wanted to tell. And the great thing about this life movie script is I can tell the whole thing. It takes the two pieces I thought it was in and merges them. So that made me happy.
Well, good. I'm glad that worked out. That was just something floating around in a folder somewhere. So I'm glad that it was beneficial to you. That's wonderful. Good. Good. Okay. On the homework I had, I put in a 3-year plan worksheet. Were you able to get through that?
I have done that as part of the Simple Shortcuts to Peace call.
Okay.
So I kind of just pulled out what I had done before. In full disclosure, what I did before I did when I was at my old job and had no idea that I would switch jobs and no idea that I would switch homes. So it needs some updating.
Okay, how long ago did you do that?
I want to say it was maybe 18 months ago, so halfway
Okay.
3 years ago. It was pretty early on in the Simple Shortcuts to Peace.
Okay, how the reason I'm asking where it said where you are and where you want to be, are you where you want to be or closer to it? Did you actually make progress and not even realize you were making progress?
Yes. I was a lot closer, and I didn't know 3 years ago that what was going to simplify my life a lot was a different job, or was living in a house more convenient to my life. But both of those things honestly fall within the goals I wanted, the abstract goals I wanted for myself within 3 years.
Good for you. Good for you. It sounds silly, but if it's a possibility to once a year without reading what you've done in the past, do that after. Create a new 3-year plan every year, which makes no sense. But psychologically, your subconscious starts working on things to solve a problem, and you begin making tiny little micro decisions to lead you to where you want to go. And so but then I do love going back and seeing, oh my gosh, I actually did all this stuff and I don't even I it wasn't even a conscious decision. So that's great. Oh, I'm glad you had that experience. Okay, if it's okay with you, let's make a new one, just to see. So you're 53 right now, with the idea that you're inching towards 60. Which sounds like a big number, but it's just a number. And moving forward, you had also said that your body feels different moving at 53 than it did at 33.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm still recovering each morning when I get up, but I can definitely tell that even though I'm not doing at this point, we got the heavy furniture over and we're sleeping here and doing most of our living here. But just the simple act of unpacking these boxes, when I got ready to move, it had been 20 years, but I ordered moving boxes kind of in what I remembered had been the most helpful from the last move. Mostly small boxes because they're easier to lift and we have a lot of books in our home, and some medium boxes and some large boxes. We have not packed the large boxes at all because I am too worried about whether or not I can, how much I put in them. I'll put pillows or clothing in them, but I don't lift those large boxes as easily as I used to do.
Yeah, it's not worth getting broken.
No, and I think about that more than I did when I was 33. Oh, if I do that, how will I feel tomorrow? I didn't think about that when I was 33, but I do now.
Good. Good. Okay. All right. On your worksheet, when I asked what you really kind of want to talk about today, it's mostly the book. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's what we're focusing on. And
okay. Okay.
It's like a possibility. Instead of just something I would like to do someday, it's becoming a lot more concrete. Like I had conversations with my adult children throughout the weekend and said, you know, that book I always said I was going to write, I'm actually doing that now.
Okay. What do you want that to look like? How can I help?
Well, the worksheet again, really, really helped because I mentioned this, I think, in the introductory questionnaire. My brain is great at big ideas. It's not as well organized as I would like it to be when it comes to breaking those big ideas down into steps. And so I have this big idea for so many different stories I want to tell in this book, and the worksheet showed me that I could actually take all these big ideas and different directions and consolidate them and tell a beginning to end story with all of it. And obviously you don't share all the details or the pages would be endless, but it shaped the narrative in a way that it actually does make sense for me to make sure I talk about my great-great-grandmother and how much influence she had. And continues to have. She was also a mother of five.
Okay. The info that you've done so far in the mapping out, are you at a stage that it can be sort of placed into a book framework and into chapters and sections?
Sections for sure. And then I think the chapters will kind of come to me is not the way I want to say that, but I think the chapters will kind of make themselves evident as
okay.
I set it out. And the overall theme is just wanting to be a good mom, wanting to do things right and trying all kinds of different things. Some of them, you know, really, as I've mentioned before, out of character, kind of the 20 years we spent in the church trying to fit in was all from a good place. It was from me wanting to make sure I was the best mom I could be for the kids. And then it turns out 20 years later, I was just fine.
Yeah. When you first got started, and like quote unquote, being a good mom, was it performative and you were like acting apart and it didn't feel like you?
There are things that really did feel like me. And my kids and I have discussed this at length. The big focus on family and doing things with my family, that came naturally. It was more the culture that
okay.
did not, if that may, but, and it was nice to exist in a space where a lot of the women my age were in the exact same place that I was in terms of the number of kids they had and the challenges they had raising those kids. I had always wanted a big family. I had always wanted to have more than average number of kids, although not a ridiculous in the double digit number of kids. And it was nice to do that in a space where other people had larger families.
Okay.
So I
And
did.
am I right? This is all with in the Mormon kind of umbrella
Correct.
when you okay. And when did you actually, I know last session you had said that you and your husband had just sort of watched news and then said, okay, and he said something like, can we be done with this now? But will you remind me how long ago was that?
It was about 10 years ago.
Okay. So you've been out for 10 years. Okay. But because it was a decision you made to join the church, it's not as if you have splintered off from family in any way.
No. I mean, I think it was in ways a relief to my extended family to learn that we didn't go anymore.
Okay.
But I mean, even then, it was just something Melissa and her family did. And now it's something Melissa and her family don't do.
Okay.
It was never, there's so much drama in my extended family, but somehow that was never really part of it. Serving a mission abroad in Italy was a little bit dramatic, but that was only because I was so far away from home. I could have done anything abroad and the extended family would have been sad because it was so far away from home. So it wasn't so much the church, just so far away from home.
Yeah. And when you first joined, you were craving community and a sense of belonging.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have that now?
Yes and no. I mentioned that I work with a youth group and that I met with a lot of the parents and adult leaders from the youth group. And that is a wonderful community for me. And I enjoy that. But also, the older I get, I don't know that having community outside of my husband, outside of my kids, outside of my really close friends, and I have three of those, I don't know that I need much more than that.
Yeah. So I know that this past week was part two of the Relationships for Simple Shortcuts to Peace, and you joined that. So when we kind of mapped out the different relationships, how did that feel?
A lot better than it felt a year ago when we did that.
Yeah, I wondered. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So it's interesting. I love that you have been in the course and continue to come and see the same slide. Well, I do try and change the slide deck, but they're essentially the same. And yet sometimes, depending on where you are in your life, you hear things differently or they land differently. So I'm glad. Okay. So if 20 years ago, you were looking for a sense of community and then found it in the church, and then realized you sort of outgrew some of those ideals and have kind of come into your own. And then, I mean, you have a large family on your own. Are you getting all of your different, I want to belong, I want to have that sense of community now with your own family, your own structure of people and friends that you've chosen?
I think so. And it was, probably always there. And it took a whole lot of misadventures and funny incidents for me to realize that I already had it. I have a great husband who's my best friend. And then I have the friends, I have three that I'm still very close to that I grew up with. And then I have five kids, four of whom are really becoming pretty amazing adults who I enjoy spending time with just for who they are.
Yeah.
I also happen to be their mom, which is great.
Yeah. And I think that's the hope is that you're raising people that you enjoy hanging out with and getting to know individually, not as an extension of you in some way, but people you would choose to be friends with, and they just happen to be your offspring. Yeah. Okay. As far as checking in with others and different things, is there enough touch points that you think as you age and grow, you'll continue to have this grouping of friends?
I do. I've mentioned it before, kind of as a joke. One of us left Oklahoma and moved out of state, and she and her family are thriving there. And yet she's still very much part of us. And I don't pretend that others of us won't do the same eventually. This is at least where, not so much social media, but cell phones and FaceTime come in handy in ways that I couldn't have imagined when we were all teenagers in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been my people since I was 14 years old. So at this point, we've been through so many different lifestyles and choices and marriages and children. I don't know. I mean, we used to see each other constantly and never got tired of seeing each other. And we're still like that. It's just a lot less that we're able to do that. But at this point, we're in our 50s. So I can't imagine that's really going to change.
Okay. I'm bouncing around a little bit, and then I promise I'll circle back to the book structure. I think on our first call, I had talked about creating like a retirement bucket list for one for you and then your husband, if he was feeling so inclined to jot some things down also. Where did we land with that?
We haven't talked about that as much. Just with moving back and forth, he still very much wants to do not own the RV and give up our home route. We like this new home that my oldest daughter called a grandparent home, although I have zero grandchildren, which I pointed out to her.
No pressure.
Well, and really no pressure. They know that.
Yeah.
So we like the permanent grandparent home, and we don't necessarily want the ownership. But we do enjoy renting that. We did that when the kids were little because it was the easiest way to travel with several small children. So he still wants to do that. He started his grown-up job about 15 years before I started mine. So he's actually looking at retirement within the next 5 to 10 years. And I stayed home for as long as I could with our kids. It just made more financial sense. So the joke is that I can never retire. And with this new job and new role, that my kids and spouse have joked, it's okay though, because now you don't want to, you love your job. And I do. And it would be a thing that I could do on a consulting basis if I ever decided I wanted to do that. Can't picture that right now. I'm very happy where I'm at, but I do have options in terms of what I do, which is development grant writing.
Okay. Let's see if you can write down and he can write down 5 to 10 things that are super important that you would be bummed if they didn't happen or if you didn't visit, and then compare lists. And then from there, decide what's doable. What can you actually put on the calendar and start planning out instead of delaying? Okay, well, we're in 5 to 10 years, we're going to do this. If you already know you want to see a specific national park or specific or go on a specific road trip, there's ways to start planning and making it happen rather than consistently like delaying what it is that you have been working so hard for. No, you don't like that.
And I'm nodding and I realize that doesn't make any noise. But that is a good idea for us to actually make lists, because in theory, we've always known, oh, we want to travel and it's a lot of national parks, which my 23-year-old went on a road trip the summer she graduated high school, which was 2020. Mm-hmm. She with a good friend of hers, and She saw a lot of my bucket list national parks, and I'm very happy she got to do that. But she was teasing us about that over the weekend. She's like, "You all are putting that on your retirement list, and I can check it off." Well, good for you, ma'am.
I do think there's a difference when you're traveling in your early 20s versus later in life, and you're interested perhaps maybe a bit more in the history and reading the signs rather than blurring through to check it off a list. But I know what you mean, and I absolutely can remember being a cheeky 20-something-year-old.
Oh, well, and it was, the Instagram highlight list, which is how I knew where she was, which was great. But, she was class of 2020. She got missed out on a lot. So I was really happy when I would see the pictures in the different places that she was having her own kind of adventure.
I like that because a lot of people that I work with delay doing things or have the mindset of delaying until they retire, and they don't have the plan coming into it, and then all of a sudden everything stops, and then all of the ideas they had have been so swirly in their head that it's again that feeling of overwhelm. And I don't want that for you. So mapping it out, if you want to have some landmark things that you want to make sure you hit before you're 60 and that kind of stuff. And I get it. And I get it that you just moved and it's a huge financial like upheaval has happened, and the idea of spending money on travel feels unsurmountable. But putting it in a list and just knowing what you're working towards is helpful. And then also the idea that the older you get, the less able-bodied you'll be. So if you know you have certain hikes or certain things that you want to do earlier, better than later, it makes more sense to schedule it in.
Oh, sure. And also, I think this is unique to our generation, Generation X. And maybe I'm only speaking to some unique experiences that I've had and a close friend of mine has had, but I was visiting with her over the weekend and we kind of joked about it. Just because our parents, the boomer generation, are known for their longevity and the size of their generation, I feel like it's only been in the last few years that, not so much individually, but in a broad sense, I don't need to ask permission from the generation ahead of me to do things. It's okay. I can change jobs. I can buy a house. And I know that sounds really silly. But this good friend of mine who is my age also just switched jobs for the first time in 15 years and is kind of, she and her husband are kind of doing their own thing. And it's not so much that she asked her parents specifically, but I think just because we were growing up so dominated by our parent generation, it's only recently started to occur to us collectively that we can do things ourselves now that we're in our 50s, that we can strike out on our own and we don't necessarily have to follow the path that we were told was best for us.
One of my favorite lines when Adam's like, "Well, I don't think you can do that." I'm like, "What are they going to do? Arrest me? Like, who cares? Like, I'm tired of being told what to do." That's a good line. Are your parents alive? Will you need to take care of them? Is that part of the plan? Do you know?
My sister is a nurse. So I know that at least in terms of the physical sense, she already knows that that is something she needs to think about. My parents do run a very small family fund and they own a few properties. And just because I have the experience that I do with nonprofits and development, more of that will fall to me. We've had those conversations with them. It's not a thing that we love discussing, but so we have a general idea of who's going to fall into what role. My sisters and I have visited about that.
Okay, Slow Down Society. I'm going to stop this episode here, and we'll be back in your earbuds next week. with Melissa. And I just want to really give a whole bunch of gold stars to her about talking about these difficult conversations with her parents that she and her siblings have had about end-of-life care. And many times humans shy away from these kind of conversations and they'd rather bury their head in the sand. And that progress won't happen that way. You can't fix things unless you shed light on them. So I'm really proud of her for having these conversations. So please, if your parents are still alive, have them, have these, figure out what is it they want? What are they expecting of you? And are you able to meet these expectations? And if not, shine light on it and let them know. And then also when it comes to your own end of life care, start talking about that. If you don't have a will in place, get it. If you don't have a living trust in place, get one, put it on the calendar and start making these things happen. I want to drop some really kind of old podcast episodes that kind of bubbled up while I was re-listening to Melissa speak. And if you haven't gone back to the archives and listened to them, I would like you to. So episode 26, Stop Delaying Happiness. Episode 33, Healing Childhood Trauma. Episode 36, Becoming Resilient. Episode 37, How to Find Your Purpose. And episode 38, Stop Chasing Happiness. Okay, pretty people, as always, I think you're amazing and lovely and wonderful and kind. I'm so proud of you. Be back in your earbuds next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at stephanieoday. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.